All right, let's begin our meeting, folks, with the first item of business being citizen comments.
Not actually.
Joe Carmona is not here, is he?
No.
All right, well, he had a few words that he wanted to say before we started citizen comments, but we'll catch it shortly. Citizen comments, and just remind everyone that we are limiting comments to no more than 5 minutes, and that's been the tradition. Are there any citizen comments?
Is there space to go? My name's Dennis Hughes. I'm a staff representative for AFSCME members in Kenosha County. I'm here representing Corda Collins and Kristen Swift, who could not be here today because they had to work. They're in temporary employment while they're...
Point of order.
Chad.
We're not allowed to hear testimony.
This isn't testimony. I wanted Joe to make, I was hopeful that he was going to be here.
There he is. He just walked in. He went into the back.
If you want to talk about this a little bit, committee, before we hear from you, Dennis, and I'm not saying you can't speak. The question was, with respect to the item number 12, I assume that he's going to make some presentation here with respect to the issue before the committee, which we will discuss in closed session. The discipline and the papers are in the file. Based on the rules we have, we make that decision based not on a de novo review. In other words, we don't hold another brand new hearing, but make the decision based on the paperwork. We've never had a situation necessarily where someone came and citizen comments and wanted to speak to the issue. I don't think there's anything wrong with speaking to the issue, but we're not going to listen to testimony or anything else like that. Committee feels otherwise, certainly will abide by the committee's decision.
I don't see any reason, from what I understand how the process works, when do they give us any information at all?
They don't.
That's my point. So yes. What are we objecting about? Let them talk.
He's got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Give him 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's five minutes. So yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
Yeah, you know.
The point is we have a process in place. And, I mean, if this was our process.
The process sucks.
What did we do last time?
Do I have the floor, or are you addressing my point?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Whether what happened is right or wrong is not what we are going to talk about here. Okay, first of all, we got letters from a gentleman here that wants to speak, which is also a problem. I mean, because they were told not to add any more evidence after the hearing officer had heard. So, I mean, what we need to do is defer this for a month, get corp counsel to give us an opinion on how this needs to go based on the process we have in place. That's a motion I'm going to make throughout all our discussion on this. If you're going to give him 5 minutes to talk, how is he going to separate testimony or his views from what we're going to hear? I mean, I don't think that's possible, and neither should you, being an attorney in court. I mean, if he's given, it could bias some things here that, you know, shouldn't be done.
Well, you certainly can make a motion to either include it or exclude it.
We're not on the agenda, so I can't make
you
a motion
make
to
motion.
Defer. I make a motion to defer this for a month and get a letter from corp counsel on how to handle this.
Defer, you're talking about what? Defer number?
Item 12.
So your motion is to defer item 12.
For a month.
For 1 month as to whether or not we're going to allow representatives to speak or the individual employee to speak during citizen comments. Is that the motion?
No, that's not the motion.
Okay, well then tell us what we're deferring.
The motion is defer this for a month.
12.
And then get 12. And then get a letter from corp counsel as it pertains to citizens' comments and us having received a letter based on the process that was in place and what our action should be from there.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Another question. Another question.
Corp counsel is here. Why don't we just ask him?
That's what I had intended when we started the meeting. Then
right.
We proceeded and Joe and I spoke about this issue prior to the meeting a couple of times. Joe, do you want to offer your thoughts?
I am too.
As the committee may recall from last year when we also had a similar hearing, I feel it is this office's job not to advocate on behalf of any party, which is why we say out of the process, but to help try and guide the committee. That having been said, there is a process in place. There is a policy in place. There is a reason that the request for an appeal does not go directly to the committee. It goes to the personnel director to advise the committee the matter has to go on. I assume that is at least in part to avoid any possible tainting of the committee or the receipt of information outside of the record, which is what this committee is supposed to review. The policy as written is a, for lack of a better word, a paper review of the independent hearing officer's decision and the exhibits that are attached thereto that support that decision. Anything outside of that, I believe, is outside of the record, and it's probably improper for the committee to consider as part of its deliberations.
Okay, so he just said probably. So I don't know
why. He's a liar.
I know. He said probably. That concerns me.
Yeah.
And number two, he just said it's probably outside the process. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we should, we could be tainted. The process was not adhered to. And ultimately, I was able to read something, and I didn't even know this when I was reading it, that shouldn't happen. I'm reading the letter that documents he forwarded to us, and the county doesn't have a chance to rebut that either, so nor does the hearing officer. And evidence was introduced that the hearing officer didn't get to hear to make a judgment on this. This is not proper. We can't be having this hearing. I mean, that cut and dry. So that's where I'm coming from. So if I'm wrong, you can correct me. Joe.
I have a question.
Joe, did you want to respond to that, George?
I don't know that I have a response. If there's a question, I'll try and answer, but I don't know that I have a response.
Ron.
The question I have is, we're not the only county that has this situation. What is the process in other counties?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I can't answer that question.
Bob?
You know, we, on two occasions, just to remind the committee, on two occasions, we debated, do we want a de novo review? In other words, have people come in and testify, speak to the issue, versus do we want to just review the paperwork and decide affirm or reverse? And on two occasions, to remind you, we decided we wanted the paper review and rejected the idea of de novo review. By allowing somebody to speak here tonight in citizen comments, limiting it to 5 minutes, or receiving an email or some other letter, does that breach the idea of a paper review? Mm-hmm. If you think it does, I'll rule them out of order. If you don't, if you want to listen to them for 5 minutes and proceed, we can do that too. As I understand the Corporation Counsel's opinion, he doesn't think that people ought to speak to the issue during citizen comments or lobby the committee in the form of letters, emails, whatever. But it's up to you to make the rules. We make the rules. He's interpreting the rules. And because we've chosen to do the paper review, not the de novo review, his view is you read the material, you affirm, you reverse, and that's it. So you, of course, can change the rules. We made the rules, so it's not.
When did we make the rules?
We did it twice. during the last budget, and we then revisited that within the last
week. We did at my request because I don't like the way we do it. So I agree with you.
So anyway, that's where do you stand? Do you or don't you want to have him speak?
No.
All right. Well, then
you made a motion.
All right. The motion before the floor, and perhaps you wanted, was to delay number 12 for 1 month and seek further legal opinion from the Corporation Counsel, and I think that's what he's given us. But your opinion was to defer. Do you want to still proceed with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I think that we should not defer it. If that's what's going to happen, I think I've read this stuff over. If anybody here hasn't read it over or checked into the facts on it, I have. And I'm ready to make a decision tonight one way or the other, so I just didn't go ahead and do it, okay? If you haven't read it, then shame on you. You should have read it. If you did, then fine.
All right. Why don't we, any other discussion before we vote? I'll do a roll call on that. Jim, you want to vote? A yes means you want to defer further legal opinion.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
No. No. It's defeated. 3-2, correct?
4-2.
4-2.
4-2.
I can't count. All right. Next issue, do you or don't you want him to speak?
No.
No.
Well, do you want to talk about it or you just want to? All right, well, let's do a formal vote on it with
okay,
a motion.
Okay, well, can we talk about it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, since I was defeated, I will expound on why this is a problem. You're setting a precedent of how this should go now. We have a procedure in place. We've chosen now not to follow it. So that's a problem for me. So if you guys want to revisit how we handle these and you don't like a paper copy, then we ought to do that. Because I find it very hard to just get a paper copy and get a feel for everybody. Okay, so, and I've brought that up before on the losing end, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse with it. But we have a policy, a procedure in place that has been violated. And if we continue on with this, you're setting a precedent. And I have a problem with that. Okay, that's all.
Termination cases are serious. I feel that we should be in search of facts, not hearsay, facts, in order to make the right decision. If facts are available, not hearsay, I'd like to know what they are to make the appropriate decision on which way to go.
All right, so why doesn't somebody make a motion to either allow him to speak or not allow
him? I make a motion not to allow him to speak.
Right, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Further discussion on that motion. Joe.
And I don't know whether I should weigh in or not, but I in the interest of fairness, Mr. Chairman, if the vote is going to be to allow an advocate for the employees to speak, I think simple fairness would insist at least inviting a response from Mr. Riedel. Whether he'll take it or not, I can't say. We haven't discussed it, but I just put that forward. I think that...
I agree. If we allow him to speak, anybody can speak. That would be my view. Or if we say no to him, that means no to everybody else on that issue.
I think there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is that if we start getting in an open debate, then it's no longer a closed thing, and it's no longer a personnel matter, and we're bringing employees' names into this thing, and I don't think we can do that. So in light of that, if the vote is not to let him speak, I'm going to vote to not let him speak because I don't want to get into that part. I think we've read the information, everything that was in there, but I don't want to get to an open hearing because there are people's names in there, and those names are going to come out eventually in the process. So I think we should just go ahead and have our closed hearing, and we can make a decision based on the facts. And I've read what I've done. I know what I have to say. And then everybody can make up their own mind. But I don't want to make this an open hearing at this point. I think that's not a good idea.
Okay.
I don't know what he could say that would add to it without, you know, obviously he's going to say, you know, I don't know what he's going to say, but I don't think we want to get into that. I don't like the process. I think it sucks, okay? But I don't think we should get into an open hearing, and then people's names could get mentioned and everything else. So then it's no longer a personnel matter. People's names are in here, you know?
Further discussion. Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote, and again, I'll do a roll call. Yes means you no speaking on the issue, Jim.
Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Yes. So no speaking on the issue from anyone. All right, further citizen comments? All right, seeing none, then, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to real quick. Shannon Molina. I live here, 8938 14th Avenue, Kenosha, down by the drive-in theater. I was actually going to read, but I have a feeling you guys are going to cut me off, so as a constituent, I'm just going to stand up and I'm going to say I'm very disappointed with what I just saw. These people have been discharged for over 7 months. 7 months, and you guys
You know, I have to rule you out of order. I have to respect the decision of the committee, and I can't just ignore that decision, so I'm sorry.
I'm not speaking about them. I'm a constituent, and I should be able to talk about any subject. I'm not naming names. I'm not talking about the specifics of this case. What I'm going to say is, as a constituent, I just watched the County Board Personnel Committee that's going to make decisions on two people's livelihoods, people that have been hanging in the balance for 7 months, and you guys just shut them down. You don't want to hear from anybody about anything. You think the paper is all that you need. You need to hear from the people that are involved in this, not just administration, the actual people whose lives are being affected. So I will be going back because you're my county board supervisor, and I will make sure everybody that I know in our district knows what you've just done, because that's wrong. You just shut people down, livelihoods. How would you like it if you guys were on the receiving end of this? It was your job that somebody was in here trying to fight for. All he wanted to do was make a 4-minute comment in support of two women that you guys are going to make a decision on tonight. And I think that if this is the policies, then you guys need to relook at the policies, because you're shutting down the employees of the county and the constituents that support them.
Well, just, you know, in defense of the committee, just because we're not going to discuss the issue in public does not mean that we are either affirming or reversing the decision. We're merely saying that we're not going to discuss it in public. That's all. Nobody's saying that we're going to decide. You're assuming that the employees are going to lose, and that's all predetermined.
I'm not assuming anything.
That's the premise under which you speak.
Well, you just directed comments at me to that mean exactly that. So you don't even know what my motion was, and you came at me. I'm a little disappointed in your reaction too. You know, I would be, you know, this is just a procedure that's in place. And I agree with what you said.
Someone sat down and you interrupted them with a point of order and
shut them down. That's right. Because our process.
4 minutes of your time.
Our process does
four
not.
4 minutes of your time just took 10 minutes and shut down.
Mr. Chairman, this is getting out of order.
Well, I think we may need to proceed. We'll talk about the employee issue as number 12. The committee's decided that it would be in closed session. The board has decided on two occasions that it would be based upon the submissions to the committee in writing. It doesn't mean the employee wins. It doesn't mean the employee loses.
You know, I guess.
And I don't want to get into an argument. I really want to proceed with the agenda. And there are certainly other ways of doing this. And another way of doing this, and it's been rejected on two occasions, not unanimously, but some supervisors have thought that a de novo review, which means each side presents its case, and that's, we did that under the prior rules, that was changed. But it doesn't mean that we are weighing in one way or the other. It just means that we don't want to hear, or the committee doesn't want to hear, the case presented as a de novo review, which means that everybody comes in and testifies.
And
that's certainly a valid way of doing things, and I support that idea. But if the committee decides that they just want to read the paperwork and make that decision without input from the administration or input from the employee or the employee's representative, that's a fair process as well, and it doesn't mean that we're against you.
It's so not fair. I think can pick the independent hearing officer.
I'm sorry.
The administration picks their friend to write the decision that you have to base your decision.
Why don't you wait until the conclusion of the meeting.
But
see how it comes out. If you think that a different process ought to be in place, you know, you're certainly free to come to the county board and argue that point. The board makes the rules, but there are two choices. We don't have a hybrid. And the choices, again, are you either do the paper review, which the board has decided to do. They've rejected the idea of a de novo review. We used to have that. People came in and discussed their case, and the committee decided. In each case, the committee decides. And in each case, I don't think the committee is necessarily predetermined when we walk in here to decide one way or the other. So you're talking like it's all cut and dry. It's not all cut and dry.
We weren't expecting a full hearing. We're expecting a...
Go ahead, Rod.
If you understand, what the process is going to be, I've got the information that you all presented at your hearing. Did you put everything in that hearing? And that, did you put everything forward that you wanted? Okay. We come in here as a committee, the way it's set up. He doesn't talk. The only ones that talk, we read it, and we're the only ones that can make a decision. Mr. Riedel's not there. Our corporation counsel's only there for legal questions. So what you presented at the arbitration is what we're going to go through. Okay. Nothing more, nothing less.
Citizen can present, though. And you're limiting the subject matter of...
No,
the
case. No. Because
I think it's a
violation. What you want a citizen to start giving testimony? Is that what you want?
A citizen can say whatever they want. They shouldn't be limited by something.
What if a citizen came in here and said, I think they should be fired? Is that okay? That's my point.
Let me just say one thing. We will go into closed session. We will review the facts. And we will try to make the best decision based on what information we have. And we'll do the best we can.
Well, it's only on the information that was presented by you and the administration during the process. Nothing more, nothing less. Except any information that anybody has found in the meantime, I guess.
We can use whatever they sent us after
that. Reggie Pachochen, 2416 28th Avenue, Kenosha. I live here in the city. I work for Kenosha County. I also represent Local 990, AFSCME. And I would just request of the committee, as it's been talked about, but nothing's really been done about it, is reviewing what the process is, because it isn't really... working. I mean, it's there's conflict amongst you guys on how the process works. I think there's conflict on what the process really is and what's allowed in it. I would like, as representing employees, to have a just cause in our policy. And, to really take a look at what that offers the employees. It allows both sides to have a fair say. And the way it's set up right now, basically the employee is guilty immediately. Where with just cause, there has to be something to really show. And you both have a voice, and it has to be proof. And there's a lot of things going on in the county and other departments that I'm hearing about. People are afraid to bring it forward, stuff that's happening in the departments, because they can easily get terminated. It's what the department head says and decides, and it seems to be what's been going. Like, people are afraid, and they shouldn't be afraid. County employees should not be afraid. Just cause would give us a sense of protection. It doesn't mean you can be a lousy employee. But when things come up, they can't be coming up just because there's personality conflicts. There has to be other proven issues. And so I just would request that you guys take a look at that idea. I know it can be brought forth through a resolution. It can be put into the policy. There's different ways, but if you take a good look at what the just cause means and what it's all about, I would appreciate it. I know a lot of other employees would as well. Thank you.
All right, let's move on with
you.
I
have a citizen comment, please. My name is Denise Bell. I live at 4223.
Can you come up here? I can't hear you. I can't hear you, please.
I can't hear you.
I would just like to say that I appreciate the fact that you guys followed a policy and procedure. I wish that my supervisors on a regular basis followed policy and procedure for their own work ethics and for what they do in their jobs, because we have to. So why shouldn't they?
Thank you for following your policy and procedures.
All right. Any other citizen comments?
Yeah, I have citizen comments. Jeff Gens, 8918 29th Court. Okay, I'm going to talk as a citizen here. I really think that, I know that this, because I've sat on it, this Finance Committee has dealt with this on no less than a handful of occasions. And we haven't had employees come in and talk to us with the passion that Reggie just did when we were debating it. So that disappoints me too. And to be verbally acquested like I was, if that's not even a word, I just made it up. I actually agree with the person that was coming at me. I agreed with Mr. Frederick too, you know. And as a member of this committee, I will make a motion to have us revisit this policy, because I like to see what I'm getting into rather than just seeing a piece of paper, okay? But that being said, I as a constituent or as a taxpayer do not believe we should sit here and hear testimony from one side that we can't hear from another. That's the whole point of it going to a hearing officer. They were able to gather all the information and bring it to us. Unfortunately, that is the policy and procedure that's in place. I happen to disagree with it, but that's what we're allotted to do. So, there's certain ways to change things, and you need to do that. You could call your supervisor too. But there's different ways to make changes, but I don't think that this is the proper forum, and we should follow proper procedure. The board should follow proper procedure. So that's my comments as a constituent.
Point of order.
Thank you.
The citizen is not allowed to make a motion. He'll have to make that motion.
I'm not making a motion.
He said he was going to
make a motion. I can't hear.
When he got second.
I'm not making a motion. I didn't get a second.
If you want to make a rule change, bring it in the form of a resolution.
I agree with what you said.
I just got one more question, real quick question. It was mentioned something about a hand-picked arbitrator. I guess we want to find out how they pick and who they pick and how the person's picked. Do they get a group of people and then both sides agree to a certain person, or do they just pick somebody and that's it?
Joe, can you go on and answer that?
It's a question.
I will answer.
Well,
as long as I got it on my mind. Huh? The what? The
administration's job to select the independent hearing officer.
The administration selects the person? In other words, either side doesn't have a list of people they can go to? That's got to change.
Keep in mind that these were rules that the board adopted prior to
I understand,
2014,
we adopted
budget.
Something, and now it's coming to light that some things aren't right.
Can I speak to that, Mr. Chairman? The selection process is done. There are a limited number of people who are doing it.
Oh.
And so we are limited to the group of people that we have consulted with WDRC.
Is that a list of people that are set aside, and that's the only one you can go to?
No.
Do they come from all walks of life with all points of view, or they just have one point of view?
They need to have
particular expertise. I mean, we gotta convince our people that they're getting a fair shake. And I think
Well, I think we ought to talk about this.
Okay.
Prepare a resolution, bring it to the board committee, we'll talk about it, pass it or defeat it or amend it.
I think otherwise
we're just exchanging a lot of heat and not getting anywhere.
Shooting
so,
in the air.
Yeah. So, I mean, that we certainly can consider changes, bring them forth in the form of resolutions. Corporation Counsel's office is there to help you put it in the proper terminology.
Well, that was fun, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Joe, could you make a resolution for me to change that policy, please?
Well, why don't you meet with them? Tell them what you want.
Well, we're on the subject. I'm just asking him.
He'll do it. But.
Okay.
All right. Any other? We're down here to reports of the committee. Anything else? Seeing none, we are at number 5, approval of the minutes, September 10th.
I move to approve.
Second.
Was I here? Was I here? Maybe I wasn't here. I don't know.
Any other discussion on that issue?
No.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're at number 6, resolution to appoint Virginia Brown to the library board.
Everyone, I'm pleased to introduce you to Ms. Virginia Brown.
Ms. Brown has agreed to serve on the library committee, library board. She is from Bristol and retired from Kenosha Unified School District. She is active in her church, the Bristol United Methodist Church, the American Association. The American Association for University Women, among many other community service activities. And we respectfully request your support for Ms. Brown for the library board.
Move to approve.
Second. And a question, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
Does anyone have questions?
On the question, I'm glad you were here so we could get an explanation of your resume, because I had no resume here to base my decision on, so. I would appreciate we have
I
a resume.
I had one, it's on the internet.
Got it. There's no resume here.
Well, it was on the internet.
It was emailed.
Oh.
Email.
Yeah, that was a motion second.
All right, there should have been resumes included.
It was emailed. It was emailed in a separate email with confidential information.
Why don't you provide it to the board at the next week's meeting? Mm-hmm. All right, any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say
aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to the next item, which is county clerk tax deeds.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the Finance Committee. I've been used to my face because we'll be coming up here quite often in the future on tax deed properties. This is one sheet that we did not get out to you in the packet.
Okay. Yeah, that's an important one there.
The one I'm handing out right now actually is a list of all the tax deed properties that Kenosha County maintains. Some of them go back to 2001. Some are recent. The recent, most recent ones on the bottom are actually ones I'm going to talk to you about in a moment. But we're going to be talking with the county executive and the treasurer, and we're going to try and put these properties up for sale for a minimal amount of probably $100 at the tax deed auction to see if we can actually just get them back on the tax rolls. If that doesn't, that option doesn't work and people don't buy them, because if you look at a lot of the addresses, a lot of these properties are in the core areas. Some of them are unbuildable, they're not big enough, and they don't go with what the city or the city wants right now for the size of a city lot. So right now we're paying between $6,000 and $8,000 a year to maintain these properties. This year we're up a little bit just for the fact that we had to clean out a couple properties that we just took that had homes on them. But the majority of the maintenance is grass cutting, snow removal. We have tree limbs come down on them, people dump garbage on them. We have to remove the garbage and take it to the dump. That's all cost. So these I just wanted to bring to your attention, because these are ones that we are going to try to get back on the tax rolls that we have just been maintaining for years. So that one's just for information.
Question?
The other ones that
Mary, I have a question on.
Sure, go ahead.
A lot of these are huge properties, and you know, they're big lots and stuff. Do we have prices set on them now?
No, there's no prices set on these that right now. If you have, like, okay, so the one that's 50 by 132 run on 67th and 14th Avenue.
Okay.
That one has super high specials on it because it had a house that was raised.
Yeah.
So in order for us, we wouldn't be able to sell it for the amount that is due on it, $16,000. So, and it's in a core area, and but the best thing that's probably going to be for these is to see if the abutting property owners would want to combine them with their parcels so that they can make a yard, they can put a garage up, they could have parking, off-street parking. That's what our hope is, that we will be able to just give them to the abutting property owners.
Okay, one more question. Wouldn't the thing be to then to notify the adjoining property owners? Have you done that already?
Well, we haven't, only because we don't know. We've looked as far back as we can with these properties. A lot of them weren't put up for tax deed auction because they had high specials on them.
Yeah.
And the rule before was that if there's high specials on them, you're not going to sell them. And this goes way back, not just in my term as a clerk, that these were set aside because they were in core areas. They were not really sellable properties. We just started maintaining them. But we do know that through our previous chief corp counsel that we don't have to pay the city the specials first. We could sell it for a certain amount and pay us back first for everything the county's put out. And then anything left over could go to the city. So we don't necessarily have to sell it for the $16,000 or to try and get the money due to it.
What you're saying is that if we sell it for $300, the city can't come back and say we want our money.
They can't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
They can't. So the other parcels that I have, I don't know which one, what order they are in your packet. The ones that we supplied the pictures of in the description of the properties. I'll go to the one on 8th Place first.
What's the last three or four numbers of the
0715. Okay, so 0715 is out in the Summers. It's a home that we recently took that is in very serious disrepair. If you look at the pictures that we gave you, you can see that the house is filthy. The garage needs to be torn down and filled with stuff. The only way to show opens it up. Okay, that's the 23rd. We'll do that one, April. That's fine. Huh. Once you got that one up, I'll go to that one.
What's the address?
This is 4139 23rd Avenue.
I think we went through that one time, didn't I go with you one time?
No, not that one. Are brand new. You don't want to go in that one. This house here on the outside doesn't look bad. It's in a decent neighborhood. It's by Holy Rosary. But when you go into the house, and we had to have the garage door removed because the garage was so full of stuff and the door was broken and we couldn't get it off in the garage. I mean, there was a rat that came out when they did it. Now the bathroom is filled with water. The ceiling's falling.
Did you just say rat?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rat. This house we had to debug. It was full of fleas and it was disgusting. We paid to have this house emptied out just because we figured it might sell a little better without all the garbage in it. The basement, one of the rooms in the basement actually has sewage on the floor that's still there and live. So I'm just, sure. This house we're suggesting we start it at $35,000 and hope that we can get it out of our hands. And that's just what's owed on it, a little more than what's owed on it.
So
my recommendation is that we sell it for $35,000 and get it back on the tax rolls.
How much?
$35,000.
What's it assessed at now?
Assessed at 98.1, but the assessor has not gone through it yet. He wanted to go through it.
$35,000 and good luck.
Yeah.
If you get 24.
Do you need a motion? Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Does she have the authority then to go below that?
Put away with
we can't sell it for less, but we could put it back up for sale at a lower price. If we don't sell it at $35,000, we could put it up again. Pretty much we'll do it quickly because we don't want to keep these houses over the winter. Unless you think, I mean, if you're looking at it and you think that we should go lower the value of what the taxes are that are owed on it, we usually try to look at how much the county's put out to try and recoup at least that amount of money.
Yeah, and you gotta have a buyer though.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. I'm amazed at what some people will buy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'd like to see if the maker of the motion would say that the clerk's office is free to accept an offer anywhere between 25 and 35.
I don't think we can by state statute.
Second goal. Where's our attorney?
I believe that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, yeah. Go ahead.
Reggie works close.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay.
Well, I think that, from all the reading, I mean, I know Joe left and I'm not an attorney, but from all of my, you know, we're really trying to get a handle on the tax deed properties and what's going on with them. And so we've been reading a lot of the state statutes and trying to get a good understanding, talking with Corporation Counsel. But believe it has, from the way it's written, it has, you guys helped decide a price for it. Okay, so that's something I think kind of new. Mary started bringing it before the committee because that was in the state statute. There's Joe, he wants to talk, but my understanding is we put it up for a price. It has to be a minimum of that bid. If we want to lower the bid, we have to put it up for auction again at a lower bid. And then say we put it up for $35,000 and we don't get a bid, it doesn't sell. Now it's for sale over the counter. Someone can come in and pay $35,000 flat and purchase it over the counter. Once it's been up for auction,
then it can be purchased over the counter. But if we're going to lower the price, it has to be, because the auction gets published. It has to, there's class three notices and class one notices, things like that, where it has to be made public. So then it has to be put in the paper. The public has to know that we're putting it up for, you know, that this property is available at this price. So,
okay.
So therefore, we can't take a lower bid,
okay,
because then others wouldn't know.
Then I would suggest maybe starting at 29.9 instead of 35. I mean, what do
well,
you think,
Well, the decision
Joe?
Is made that it was 35, so.
I don't. Well, that's
you
a motion.
Make
you want to make amendment to the motion?
Yeah, I do.
Make amendment.
Is there a
well,
second?
Supervisor Gensel, mm-hmm. just tell you a little story. A couple of the houses that I put up for sale, I've had people tell me that's way too much money, that's way too much, I'll
okay,
never sell it.
All right,
and we have sold them. So
okay.
I'm just saying,
I'll leave it at 35. I'll leave it at 35. Go for it.
All right, let's
there you go.
They'll find us something.
All right, let's move on with the agenda here. We've decided on the 35. Let's, Marion, what's next?
Okay, the next house is in.
Did we vote?
No,
we didn't.
Are we
vote.
Voting on these individually?
Okay.
April?
Vote.
Didn't
yeah.
we vote on
no. Yes.
We did vote.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
The committee decided 35.
Yeah, 35.
Want to make
yes, what's the next?
I didn't hear
okay,
yes.
The next item is a house on 438 8th Place in Summers.
I'll get to it.
This is just a parcel.
Okay, 0715.
Okay.
You're on 8th Place. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Town of Summers. If any of you know where Edna lives, this is right down the street from her.
From who?
Edna.
Oh.
It's a nice, quiet little neighborhood. It's the worst house on the block. The house has a lot of water damage. The garage is falling apart, and it's filled with debris that we did not clean out. It's not a nice piece of property, but if you look at the pictures, you can see the extent of the filth in the house. One thing this has great going for it is it's got a pretty new furnace. It was put in 2013. The taxes and interest and everything. John, you're laughing. It's got a good furnace on it.
It's a listing I don't want.
It's top of the line. It's got a good furnace.
Well, it does. That's what people look at when they're
100 amp service.
They have these houses, and it's got 220.
Get rid of the
girl. Keep the furnace.
Why would anybody buy a furnace?
Well, because you can sell it at a homeless.
I'm just saying these are buyers. You know, these are things a buyer's going to look at. So, it's
worth
right
a lot.
Now the county's got invested 36, a little over 36,000, and we're looking at 40,000.
I vote to for 40, and then if I get a second, I have a comment.
What is your motion against?
40,000. She asked for
40. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I won't be making a motion.
Go ahead.
Okay. I had a house two doors down from me. I'm just gonna, and I thought that would never. And they did. I think they sold it for like $35. You should see it now. Be surprised what these guys can do.
All right. Further discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the $40,000 authorization, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next one.
Okay, this is just a parcel. It's out in Pleasant Prairie. The county has owned it for numerous years. And a party came to us, and they were interested in purchasing it. It's abutting their property. We talked with Rocco Vito, the assessor out in Pleasant Prairie. It is in a partial wetland, and so it is not a buildable lot at this time, and it has restrictions through the village. And we could go through the whole process of having it restaked through the DNR. It's very costly, and see if it's not considered a wetland anymore and sell it for more. But at this point, we're, you know, willing to just get it back on the tax rolls and not have to go through the process, because I mean, really, it's thousands of dollars if you want to go through the proper procedure to do the wetland staking.
Is that Silver Lake?
No, this is in Pleasant Prairie. But there's a lot of wetlands in the prairie area. So the value of the property is $45.57 as far as what's due to, not the value, but what's due to Kenosha County is a little under $5,000. The assessment total is $6,000, and we're just going to, if it's approval, we would sell it for the $6,000.
Right. So you're asking for $6,000 authorization.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Is there a second? Discussion?
Second.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Get it back on the tax rolls.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right, well, thank you very much. And
I'm glad you're doing that.
Very good. We'll move on to the next item of business here. This is a
So I just want to tell Supervisor Day one thing. Remember the houses you went with me to see over on 7th Avenue?
Christensen's?
Yeah, Christensen's house, John's house, sold for $10,000 more than we were asking.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. So, I mean, that was really a good deal.
Making us some money, aren't you?
Just getting back on the tax rolls.
Just want to give you a little commercial.
John Rudy, present this motion for the grant.
Yeah, this is easy.
For muskies. So, the DNR approached me and asked me if we would, there was about $750 in the state's conservation aids for Kenosha County. And they have a program where they're trying to introduce predatory fish into the, more into the Fox River to clean up the rough fish, to clean up the ecological functions in the river. So anyways, we're basically the conduit. The Milwaukee chapter of Muskies Inc. will pay the 50-50 part of the match, so there's no cost to Kenosha County to put 142 muskies. That's basically the gist of the grant.
You're going to tell us where the best fishing spots are?
That's insider trading.
Absolutely.
So the resolution is to apply for this grant funding.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Is there a second and discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for waiting.
Next item on the agenda is the audit presentation, and Kathy, you're able to do that.
Oh.
Hello. Does everyone have a...
Yes.
So, do you want the audit up or the management letter?
I think you just look at the hard copy, because how are you going to know?
Okay. Well, I didn't, yeah, did everybody get their hard copy? I think I got one more, I don't think Terry's got it.
Yeah, I have it.
You got yours?
I do.
Okay.
Got one?
Yeah, I got one more. Oh, I didn't.
This?
Or do you want the whole book?
I don't know.
You're going to talk about the management then?
I'm going to start with the audit report.
Is it two books?
The financial.
Yeah, one's the management report, kind of like a summary, and then that one's the...
All right, go ahead.
Starting with the opinion page, that's page one with the letterhead. Our opinion page says that we're responsible for the financial statements and explains the auditor's responsibility to make sure they're reasonable. On page two of the opinion, they talk about that the opinion also covers the supplementary information that's in the end. And the other information section talks about that we also are under the single audit guidelines. So they have to look at compliance and all our grants. And that's a section in the back that's a combined report. So our opinion was unmodified. So that means it was clean opinion. And that page is page one and two. And the first section of the audit then is called the management's discussion analysis. And that's where the committee gets to talk about how the county's doing. And I'm going to go to page nine. There's some graphs here. The first graph covers governmental type, which is all the funds except for Brookside, Gulf, and Highway. We're on page nine.
Two books.
Does anybody else see one? We're in the financial statement one, the thick one.
Which one?
The one you got in front of you.
Financial.
The thicker one? What the hell are you talking about?
That one, yeah, that one. Yeah.
That's the one
you got in your hand.
The one you got in your hand.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if Kim...
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh,
page nine.
I hope you're going to go this through this page by page, are you?
I'm going to do it, Ron. I'm going to every
word. Line by, and if we listen, we'll get it done fast.
Line by line.
There's pictures in here. All right.
Go ahead.
We're slow.
Come on, this is exciting stuff.
Really?
We work hard, and you know it is hard to get.
Are you excited?
We don't have any findings. I'll go right to the point in our compliance. We've had a few years now.
No findings, huh?
No findings, Ron.
God, that sounds good to me.
That's amazing.
Is that a motion?
I mean, we're talking about a lot of grants, millions of dollars of grants.
I'm kidding.
I know you're not. But I mean, that's the bottom line is
we're proud of you. We're proud of you.
Thank you, Ron. and it's it is quite a feat.
Yes,
yes, so it is.
That's exciting. I know this is kind of old news though, because you know financially how we did. We already reported that in April. when we closed out the year, there were no audit entries, so really these financial statements reflect what you saw in April. But the page on page 9 just gives you an idea of some of the programs. The darker columns in the front of the graph are the expenses, and the lighter bar is the revenue that those areas take in. And you can see, like social services, most of their expenses are covered by grants and outside sources, so not levy. Whereas in public safety, of course, you have more of a levy covering those expenses. So it just gives you a picture of how that works. And then the bottom picture shows you how our revenue breaks down. So 42.8 is levy. And then we have grants of almost 40%. And that's the main source of revenue for government type. The next page is the three funds that I talked about that are based like a for-profit fund. Brookside Highway and Golf Course, pretty much they cover their expenses with their fees. And Highway is federal grants and things. So gives you an idea of most of their coverage is charges for service. On page 11, there's little numbers right in the middle of the page. Those are our unrestricted fund balance, and how I just wanted to show you how in 2008 we had under 10 million, and at the end of 2014 we have 16.5, and that's another indication of the health of the county.
It's actually up 2.5 million from 2013.
Yeah. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. On page 14, I think you'll see a familiar chart. And that's where we track the general fund and that unrestricted fund balance. And the bottom line is that what we look at is our expenses for the year. They're supposed to be at least 17% of on the general fund, and our unrestricted balance was 25%. So we're above our expected thing. These are the things that affected it. We went through this in April, but there's things that caused it to increase, like the sales tax came in like 2 million more than we budgeted. That's one of the big things, was that the sales tax came in, and then the expenses were a little higher at the bottom. I'm not gonna go through each one because we did go through that before. Mm-hmm. And then on page 20, there's another picture for you, and that's the debt. The debt was, we were at a higher stage in 2008, and our debt has gone down. A lot of that is on the page before that. If you go backwards to page 19, the numbers are there, and our debt is made up of general obligation debt, our OPEB, is the protective and non-protective, and then we have the vacation accrual, and you can see how the OPEB has gone down quite a bit, from a total of like 130 million down to 84 million, and that's where we changed the benefit package, and so that's helped quite a bit for our total debt.
A lot of that would be employee. They no longer can get insurance after they retire. And a lot of the employees got taken out of it because they did a 10-year thing cutoff. Wasn't there a cutoff or something on that insurance?
Yeah, there's a different cutoff.
That's right.
And then also in this audit, we try to convert our government type accounting to for-profit. So, you know, we have three funds that we operate like for-profit, but we try to convert the rest of the fund, the general fund, the debt service. On page 21, we actually show a column for government activities and a column for business type. And we put the assets on the books and we depreciate them, and we put the debt on the books and we amortize things. So this is a little different look at the county, and they say that's easier for the bond rating to compare them to other governments. On the second page is the income statement in that same for-profit mode. And it's kind of a different statement. I like to look at this because you have the expenses on the left. So for general government, our expenses are 26 million, And then the columns to the right of that are the revenues related to that section. So general government, health, public works. Public works is just our infrastructure. Public safety. It shows you that in the column called governmental activities, that negative number, that's what the levy has to cover then. So it gives you an idea of where the levy is really being spent. It's just a good picture, you know, easy picture to look at. On page 23, at the very bottom, there's some columns. There one is general fund. At the very bottom, you can see our unassigned deficit. It's in italics. That's the $15 million. That's what I was talking about, where we have 25% unrestricted. That's the good number that we look at. Also, our delinquent taxes are going down, so we have to hold out of our unrestricted. We have to pull out taxes that we aren't collecting. Well, that balance has gone down, and it's going down more in 2015 through our analysis. So it's a good picture, and the picture is getting better that way. Then I'm going to skip.
Can I ask you this on page 22? What do you call general government?
General government is pretty much what's in the general fund. So all the electeds, register deeds, treasurer, that kind of finance. The sheriff's department's pulled out, so they're in public safety.
I see that's public safety.
That would be, let's see what else was in there. Parks. Facilities, taxing my brain here, but things like that. I guess you can see what's in public safety, social services, education and recreation is like UW Extension and parks are in there. Conservation and development. So it's our administration, county exec, county board expenses, things like that.
Yeah. So that's your levy, that's $77 million.
The levy is just those top $47 million and $13 million. See where it says property taxes to the left?
I'm at page 22.
Yeah, on page 22, when you go to the bottom,
yes.
There's other things in that $77 million. There's sales tax, there's grants that are, so it's not total. The $77 million is not total levy. Our levy is the $60 million.
I see.
Okay. And some levy does go to highway. Then I'm going to, there's financial statements in here. I'm going to go to page 29 just to show you a budget and actual. It's an actual for the general fund on page 29. We have the original budget, then the final amended budget, and it compares the actual. Our revenues for taxes, we collected $2 million more, and that's mainly the sales tax. The rest were just a little under. And then the expenses, of course, were underspent in those categories, so compared to budget. So we expected to spend $62 million, we spent $60 million. And we ended up with a 3.9 net income at the bottom for the general fund. We didn't have any budget, anything over budget, because, you know, we amend the budget. And then the three proprietary funds are in 31 and 32. I know people are usually interested in the golf course. Income statement on page 32.
It's Terry's subject. The golf course, isn't that your golf course?
The golf course, as you know, is coming out.
No.
Oh. No.
Coming out better, and we've been watching that. You can see that they have a positive change in that position there.
So what is this, a loss or is this a break even? It looks like a loss to me.
You know, here, what happens with the golf course is we have money for capital items that is bond money, and we didn't spend it all. So they have a small net income from their operations, and then they have the money that they're carrying over, that you approve them carry over. So that's why there's a surplus, because that bond money is considered revenue.
That's that 3 million?
Let's see. It's the transfer in of 374. Are you in the golfers column? The 374,000 is actually bond money. So,
I see,
they would have a little loss without that.
So their loss is 150,000.
But they use, yeah. Before transfers.
Right.
Right.
From operation.
Right. But that's with depreciation.
374 is a...
is bond money that comes in to help pay for capital items.
And there's 223 unspent.
Yeah, I'd have to look. I don't know if you're I think the carryover is a little less than that.
You said the depreciation up here, we're at 600,000?
Yeah.
So that's just a number that you categorically take out.
Well, it doesn't affect cash.
No, it's not cash.
Golf course,
it's a number, but it's not cash, really.
And if you look at their cash on the balance sheet, it's $165,000 in cash. With the golf course, we do it on a cash. We think about it. Do we have cash? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And then we go from there. So
this 150 loss is or isn't being paid for by levy?
There's no levy. No, there's no levy in the golf course.
How do you subtract, just to, you know, accounting wise, how do you subtract money for capital items from a loss from operations?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Was it the 150 from operations?
Yes.
Yeah. And the 374 is bonded including money for capital items. That's depreciation?
Depreciation is 605, which doesn't affect cash. They paid off their bond. They don't owe any principal anymore. No interest. So they don't have any debt. So the depreciation is an expense, but it's not hitting cash. It's just lowering the value of their assets because they're using their assets.
Oh, okay. I thought you said the 374 was bonded money.
Yeah, that is bonded money.
And isn't that the 150 subtracted off the 374, giving you the 223?
Yes. No? Yes.
Well, you suggest, I'm sorry.
So if you didn't have the bond money, you would have a loss.
Right. So why do you subtract bond money off of a loss, though, when you're not using the bond money to pay for the loss?
The bond money is being paid for by the whole county. So it's not considered debt for the golf, it's considered debt for the whole county. It's general obligation money that we're using for the capital outlay for improving the golf course.
So aren't you really using levy money to offset that?
To pay off the
lot?
Debt, yes.
Yeah.
Just, but it's not, you know, you're paying this off over 10 years, you're not all paying it off in one year, over the life of the asset.
So what you said that their notes are paid off, so is it fair to assume that next year our numbers would be in the green?
Yes. I'm not the golf man. Yeah. I'm not going to answer that one. Or a weatherman.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables. So
we won't be paying principal or interest? And
right. That should show it up.
Okay.
They don't have to cover that. Okay, on page 55, we have notes to the financials. There's a lot of... I'm not going to go through all that, but on page 55, I wanted to talk about the carryovers are in the middle of the page. Those are the carryovers that you approved in April. So that tells you on the government-type funds what we were carrying over there. And at the bottom of the page, as you know, we had for capital project fund, considering the admin building, we improved it on a quicker basis than we got the bonding, so it shows a deficit. But we told you about that before. The bond money is coming in 2015, and the plan was that we would bond over 2 years, but we got the work done in 1 year, so it just looks a little funny at the timing. But that was all in plan. It's not overspent. On page 60, is a list of how we have our money invested, and it's all in treasury according to statute. Just wanted to expose it, I'm not going to talk about it, but we have all our investments according to statute. That's a list in case anybody is interested in that. Page 64, our capital assets that we have on the books. Land improvement, infrastructure, our roads, we actually track that and how much is replaced, and that's one of the bigger numbers, $43 million. So we track that and record depreciation, and then we also have a schedule for our for-profit funds on page 66. It shows what the depreciation is for those assets.
Question. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin investment pool, that's guaranteed just like anything else, isn't it? I mean,
it says in the note, I think there's a $400,000 coverage, and then, you see, it says in here.
It shows that we got $23 million, but we got $14 million in the Wisconsin investment pool. What do they invest in? Guaranteed stuff, too?
It's all, yeah.
Guaranteed, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it has to be. Also,
yeah. So. Did they get a little better rate because they're bigger, or do we get a better
rate?
They've
been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's not that much.
No, okay.
But still, it's like, easy to transfer in and out of there, so it's a lot of means to use that. On page 69 is our debt, and it shows the beginning of the year, how much more we incurred, how much we paid off, and the ending balance. In the beginning, for the governmental types, we had $123 million. We ended up with $125 million. And for-profit funds, at towards the bottom of the page, we started with $5.5 million, end up with $5.2 million. That shows you the different types we have. OPEB, we have vacation pool, and general obligation debt. On page 70 is a list of all those. And what's due. This is kind of a reference book, so I'm not going to, you can always look in there in the future. On page 90 is the OPEB schedule, and you can see it's a little more dramatic as to where we started out in 2006 with an accrued liability of $88 million, and in 2014 we're down to $56 million. And in the back of the book, there's some more specific detail on different funds. I'm not going to go into that. But also in the back, there's some letterhead pages. And these are opinions also by the auditors. And these are our compliance letters where I said we didn't have any compliance findings. And these are the letters that state that we followed the government auditing standards and state single audit guidelines. And then there's a schedule with all the federal dollars that we get and the state dollars. That's our federal schedule here. And that's what they audit to make sure we're in compliance. If you can get an idea of that, I can get that. And then I just wanted to, is there any questions on the audit? I just wanted to just.
Yeah, not on that, but on the management communications. I do have a question on that.
Sure.
On page 3. The last paragraph. Could you explain, it says, during our audit, we noted a certain other matter that is presented for your consideration. Could you explain that?
Yes, that's in page 5 up here, is what they're talking about. This, we want us to consider that, I can go right into that if you want, but the government has changed their guidelines for, there's all these circulars, one was for hospitals, one's for schools, one's for county, you know, for government, and what they did was combine it into one called the super circular, the omni circular. And they want us to consider, they want us to make sure we implement these new guidelines, and that's what they're saying. This is their management letter here,
okay.
Page 5. I know it sounds weird, but I wanted to say that we've all gone to a lot of training on this new circular. There's not a lot of changes for our county. We've been doing a lot of this, and that's our response at page 5. We need to document what we're doing, and we do need to strengthen some of those things, and we have people working on that, mainly in human services, that's where most grants are. So we'll see when the waters come through. We've gone to webinars or seminars with Schenck. They actually put on seminars. Baker Tilly, there's some federal, so a bunch of us have gone through training. So that's what they want us to make sure that we implement anything.
Thank you.
And mainly it's, you can see it in the bullet points on page 5. Mm-hmm. Those are the areas that we need to make sure we have documented.
Is that it?
Yes,
good job. All right, discussion or questions?
Just a question. Did we get the audit about the same time last year as we did?
Actually,
stuff?
The audit was done in July. And it's due July 31st. The date on here was the date we actually finalized, July 14th. But because of the way the meetings fell, we couldn't present it until October. I think the September meeting, there was something else going on then. So it's done a lot earlier than what we're presenting, but it just didn't fall into the agenda.
I'd like to see it earlier if it's possible, but when it's done, it's bad. Then it's 4 months later.
Yeah.
I think in August you had the bond money, the bond situation were coming through. There was something on the agenda. So we can talk to David.
Get us the audits and let us then have a meeting later. I don't think, but I think then you get a chance to go over.
Yeah. Sure.
Then you can have questions.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Further discussion? Do you want to receive and file?
I'll make a motion to receive and file the reports.
Second.
Is there discussion on that proposal? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Good report. No gigs.
Very
all right,
short.
Let's take a look.
Should be
audits of bills, is that being circulated yet?
Laura, it's in the black binder.
Junior?
Yeah, right there on top. That needs to be.
This is what you circulate when you sign.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No one would know this.
All right, very good. We'll do that as we are proceeding. And the next item are various reports, personnel.
No report, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Sheriff overtime, any discussion? You have that? Your discussion or presentation? No. Fund balance report?
I have all a fund right. balance report. I think you'll have a report distributed mm-hmm. within your packet.
I know that was all.
So we are seeing a slight increase. We're forecasting 4. We are seeing an increase in sales tax again. It's a modest increase. It's not as high as what we saw in 2014. I think we're being conservative, and rightly so, because some of that revenue is coming in from elastic sources, meaning they move with the economy. The revenue goes up and down how the economy moves, so it's better to be conservative on that end. We have some decrease in tax delinquency, as Kathy had previously mentioned to you. We're using some reserve money deduction to general fund. That's for IT scanning and our finance class and comp for next year. Our vacancy is budgeted, or we're thinking we're going to come in a little short at $200,000. We have some large claims that are causing a health insurance deficit, and decreases in penalty on tax, delinquent taxes, and interest on tax revenue. Again, that's due to lower tax delinquency. We also have a large deficit in human services, which everybody had received a report from that previously. That was due to children and family placements and dad's mental health and AODA services. We have a deficit in sheriff, which is mainly due to overtime and some shortages in revenues as well. So bottom line, we still have an increase, but it's modest. It's $762, and we're still in the ballpark of about 25% rounding up increase.
Do you want to distribute the economy to the committee? I don't think I'm looking around.
It was at the table.
Did what?
What she just reported?
Yeah, I'm just looking around, I'm not seeing anybody with copies.
Yeah, it should have been at your places.
Jeff has them.
I didn't see it in here.
Jeff has them all, really?
Somebody read it.
Everyone should have had one at their.
I'm not seeing anybody with any of them, so that's.
No, I don't see it either. I've got the audit.
No, I don't have it.
Complete insanity.
All right, we'll distribute that in a moment here.
I can send an email out to everyone of you for that report. If you want me to make a copy right now, I can do that too.
Sure, will I?
Want me to make a copy? Okay, I'll be right back.
Are there any other reports that you are, anyone is going to present under the categories left of Public Works, Human Services, Treasurer, Register of Deeds, County Clerk? Nope. All right. Then I would entertain a motion to go into closed session to talk about the employee discipline issue. And with your motion, who do you want to include? And of course, the public is excluded, but you want to include the Corporation Council, I assume, right?
I don't know a motion. Hey.
No,
I don't know.
I'll make a motion to go into closed session and include Corporation Council.
All right, what about county supervisors who are present but not on the committee?
We have a right by law to be.
I agree.
Yeah, he does, but yeah.
All right, and that's it.
Yep.
There's nothing to get.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it, but it's got to be listed as the statute 1985, 1B, considering dismissal, it's got to be listed as that.
All right, in the minutes, you'll do that. The statute is listed under number 12, and I assume the motion is based upon that.
Yes, it is.
Further discussion on that proposal? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
A roll call. Need a roll call.
Quick one, Chuck?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right, unanimous, and we'll go into closed session. Do you want to take a break for 5 minutes? Okay, then she'll distribute that budget report as well. So, thank you all who are left for coming, and.
Is our young person going to be allowed to be in closed session?
Good point. Do you want to have the student?
No.
I was told that she was not allowed.
I was, no, it was the ruling of extension that it is up to the committee to take a vote whether or not they wanted her to stay in.
All right, what is your pleasure?
She signed an agreement.
I turned off the recorder already because we made the motion to go into closed session, so do I need to record this then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, help me turn that.
All right, what is your pleasure with respect to our student intern?
Sure.
What is?
I would make a motion to allow the.
Food, all right. Is there a second on that?
Second.
All right, discussion on that? You understand that that's all confidential?
Yeah, she signed an agreement.
Well, just reminder.
Keep up with it.
Okay, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of allowing it, say yes, Jeff?
Yes.
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 Yes. Ron is gone.
Well, it would seem to be.
So it's unanimous.
5 minute break.
5 minute break.
Take a break, I'm just going to defer.
Here.
All right, give me a break.
Here.
I am.